Well, hello, everybody. My name is Dave Wilson, and if you can hear the sound of my voice and all this stuff works, we're about to embark on an adventure together. They used to be called Dave Wilson's version of Radio Liberty, and bingo, today it's the same thing. I'm glad to be back. I've been gone for 6 months, but it's a real pleasure for me to sit in here for Dr. Stanley Monteith, who's away from the microphone for a day or so. He'll be back on Monday, so don't you worry. Pray for him while he's gone, and pray for me, too, in this new computer-driven environment that I find Radio Liberty in right now. I'm a little bit confused, but my guest today will drag us out of our confusion, and he will clear up everything for us, for we are talking with Alan Karuba. And we'll get to Alan's further introduction in just a moment, but I have to warn you, of course, that the views that are expressed on this live radio program are my views, and not the views of the radio station you might be listening to, the computer maker that you're listening to us on the web, shortwave, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So please, if you'd like to have your views known about the things that we're going to be talking about today, give us a call. And the number of call is, of course, 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-245-4237, or locally here in the Santa Cruz, Monterey Bay area, and area code 831-464-8295. Alan, are you there today?
I am here.
I'm so glad to hear you. Every time I turn this thing on, I'm always wondering whether somebody's going to say something. Welcome to the Central California coast, and welcome to the world, I guess, via the World Wide Web. Since we last spoke, we have increased the venue of Radio Liberty, and we're probably not unable to be heard in anything, any part of the world because of the web. It's pretty exciting, don't you think?
It's a scary notion.
Yeah, really. Let me ask you to step a little closer to your telephone there. So
all right. Is this better?
Yeah, that's much better. Thank you very much. Now, you know, Alan, maybe people remember you from our previous conversations because you've been my guest and a very, very good guest for four or five times over the years here. But tell us a little bit about your website, Anxiety Center, and who you are. Mr. Alan Karuba, the next minute is yours.
In a minute? Oh, my goodness. I am the founder of the National Anxiety Center, which I founded in 1990. It's a clearinghouse for information about scare campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
This is misinformation and disinformation. It's intended to influence public policy and public opinion on a whole range of issues. And the website is anxietycenter.com. We get about 500,000 people visit us every month. I write a weekly column called Warning Signs, and pretty much hold forth on just about everything.
And you know, Alan, there's a lot to be said for how your name is beginning to get spread around. I see your column all kinds of different places nowadays, isn't it? That's great.
True.
Congratulations to you on that. It's wonderful.
Well, I got better news.
Good. What?
I have a book
called
Warning Signs. It was published in February by Merrill Press, and it's a collection of the best columns from 2000 to 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's available off of our website.
Terrific. And is it available elsewhere, too, just in case?
Sure.
Amazon and all the normal
Barnes and Noble and your local bookstore can order it. And
good. You know, ladies and gentlemen, Alan has been with us before, as I've said, and he always has a clear insight into what's really happening. When he began his website called Anxiety Center, and that's the name of it, anxietycenter.com, I said, well, are we supposed to be more anxious about this? And he clarified it for me as he just said, no, the media, he said, is what's causing this anxiety to keep us in a state of anxiety, right, Alan? Well, why are they doing that?
Well, it sells newspapers, and it helps ratings, and the only thing it doesn't help is the general understanding of relatively complex issues.
Mm-hmm.
But like all complex issues, they can pretty much be boiled down if you apply some common sense to them.
Oh, there you go. Now, since when does the American public seem to have any common sense since 1960 when the Bible was taken out of the schools?
Well, I'll tell you, I think we've all lost our wits in this country on that score. You can't pray. Now the big campaign, the ACLU, is to remove the Ten Commandments no matter where it might be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God forbid anybody should actually read the Ten Commandments, which I think I often recommend to people because it's a good reminder.
Well, it's a basis for our law in the shall I say, the Northern European Anglo-Saxon scheme of things, shall we say, the law is based upon the Ten Commandments and an understanding, a Judeo-Christian worldview.
Well, they really are fascinating reading. We tend to say the Ten Commandments, we don't think about them, or we may not be totally familiar, but the first four of the commandments really have to do with one's relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the next one, which is honor your father and mother, which is as fundamental to the concept of family as you can get.
Absolutely.
And after that, it says, doesn't say thou shalt murder, shalt kill, thou shalt not kill. It says thou shalt not murder.
Mm-hmm.
There is a very big difference. You're allowed to defend yourself. And then, of course, we get into adultery, and you shouldn't do that, and you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't bear false witness, and it ends up with a very interesting one. It says, thou shalt not covet.
All of the things that seem to come so naturally to us.
Yes.
Now, there's another program all in itself. But, you know, it's really true. I often wonder, when the Supreme Court comes down with their decision about Judge Roy Moore and his Ten Commandments in the courthouse there in Alabama, they're sitting under the Ten Commandments engraved in granite.
Yeah.
And how are they going to react to that? Are they each one of them going to whip out a jackhammer when the thing is over and begin whittling away at their favorite commandment or what? Talk about two-facedness.
I think the Supreme Court, these people are smoking some of that wacky tobacco.
Hey, well, maybe it's coming from the land of fruit and nuts.
Because they are really coming out with some very strange decisions. And the talk among people who watch the Supreme Court is that some of the judges think we should take a few lessons from our European colleagues and nations and see how they deal with these issues. Well, look, that court is in business for one job, and that is to interpret the United States Constitution as it is written.
It seems like that has escaped some of them. I heard recently, I don't remember exactly where it was, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was quoted as saying that the justices examined constitutions and legal things of many, many countries in order to come up with an exacting viewpoint of denying Texans their rights or so forth.
Yeah, I think this is a very bad idea.
It certainly is. I haven't been able to document that any place, but when she is alluded or alleged to have said that in some speech someplace, it sent a chill down my spine because of all the people in the world who ought to know what their job is, and of course they've been sworn to uphold the Constitution. As I have, as you have, if you have had military service or
sure
public
did.
Service in some way, what is going on here? The sovereignty of this country is on the edge, I believe, Alan, and there are beginning to be cracks in it, and a lot of the people don't seem to care. Have you noticed that coming around?
I don't think people quite understand what sovereignty is.
It's
one of those big words. And, you know, what does it mean, sovereign? Does that have to do with some king somewhere? No. Sovereignty is who is in control, who's running the United States of America. The Constitution says it is the people. The ultimate power granted by the Constitution is to the people, who in turn then elect representatives and senators and others to do the business of government.
And wouldn't you say that the founding fathers, when they established that kind of governmental agenda, had a great fear of some sort of centralized government? After all, that's what the Revolutionary War was fought over, all the things that the king was saying.
Absolutely. The whole concept of the original founding of the country was to ensure that we had a small central government and that most of the power would reside with the states.
Right.
Of course, this was the basis for the Civil War. It was really a war about states' rights.
Well, when Robert E. Lee surrendered his sword that pretty much ended the Founding Fathers' dreams. Another part of their dream, I suspect, was that every citizen ought to be well prepared to spend some time in public service and then come home.
Yeah.
And that doesn't seem to be going on anymore either.
No, we're pretty much, the whole system is been utterly corrupted by money, and so if you're a millionaire, you can probably get a job as, you know, U.S. senator or whatever. The strange thing to me, and maybe it's just me and my observation, but all these millionaires that end up in Congress, they all seem to be so far to the left that you'd think they totally had forgotten that they earned their living the good old capitalist way.
Yeah, I think the money kind of goes to their head, and when there is no more money to be made, or at least no difference in their lifestyle with the amount of money they have, they go after power.
Yeah, and they call it public service.
Right.
I don't see that really as a factor in the way they function to a large degree. But and of course, then they turn around and talk about those awful rich people.
Right.
Which, by the way, I'd like to be one.
Right. Anytime, I'm willing to sign up for that. I like the idea that people should be encouraged to serve in public office. But frankly, ladies and gentlemen, and Alan, if you want to serve in public office, you're going to have a lot of money to fight the media wars, which are going to come out. You cannot get your ideas across. Look at the Constitution Party in the last national election that had a great candidate and yet was never invited to any of the larger venues to discuss the issues and everything. I think, Alan, that if the people began to see that the issues needed to be discussed, they would come up out of their laziness, don't you think?
Well, I don't know if it's laziness. I'm worried because half or less of the people that are, I was going to say registered to vote, but who are at least of age, of voting
mm-hmm.
age, don't even show up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, among those registered, it's something around 50% or less. This is a very bad thing for a democracy and a republic because we need everybody who can vote to get up and vote and make a decision. And our elections these days are just being decided on a national level by, you know, a hair's breadth. I mean, it's what is it, 46 to 44%?
Right.
I mean, which says to me that this nation is sharply divided between the pull to the left and the pull to the right.
And I think it's probably because the basic American values haven't been clearly explained to the electorate in our public schools for the last 45 years.
Oh, absolutely. Our school system has been decimated. And the notion that if you throw more money at the schools, that's going to improve things or make smaller class size will improve things is just an utter and total myth. Our schools are a disaster zone for our children.
And, you know, Alan, that's what I want to talk to when we come back from our first commercial break here as the Lord tarries. Let's talk a little bit about elections and schools, because here in the state of California, we're about to have an election of sort, and the schools are a disaster. We are pouring more money into them day by day, and something has gone desperately wrong. But we'll be talking with Alan Karuba and taking your calls just as we come back from a break that's going to last about a minute or so after I quit talking. I was handed, as I walked into the luxurious studio this afternoon, a copy of the brand new Radio Liberty resource list. And I want to encourage everyone who's listening to give a call to 800-544-8927 and ask for your free copy. It'll be sent to you free and postpaid. It's more than 70 pages long nowadays, and this resource list has got everything in it that you could possibly need to read, to see, or to know if you're going to defend your position and help protect American sovereignty. If you believe that America is, in fact, a republic, and that you are responsible for sending people to Washington or Sacramento or even the Santa Cruz County building, who are going to express your desire, you need to get a hold of some of the things that are found in the resource packet. And, of course, it'll talk all about how you can become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. You will see there the best tapes of the month that you can avail yourself of, some of the products that Dr. Stan and his associates have put together. Most importantly, you'll be able to understand that there is a lot of information out there, ladies and gentlemen, and it's as easy as calling 1-800-544-8927 to get a copy of the Radio Liberty Resource Packet. So please, won't you avail yourself of that? Your name won't be added to any kind of mailing list. We will not hound you. We will not send you advertisements nor unsolicited mail. The number to call, 1-800-544-8927. And we're going to take a minute's break. We'll be right back with Mr. Alan Karuba. Just a second.
another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America, our values, our future are under attack today.
And we're back with Alan Karuba. My name is Dave Wilson, sitting in here for Dr. Stanley Monteith, who's away from the microphone for today. He'll be back on Monday. Thank you for listening to Radio Liberty right here on KKMC and on the Internet. Hope you're enjoying the program, and we'd love to have you join us. Give us a call right now if you have a comment or question for our guest, 464-8295 in the 831 area code here in the Central California coast. But anywhere that you can hear the sound of this radio program, we'll drop the quarter or 50 cents, whatever it is, at 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-245-4237. And we'll open up the switchboards right now. Alan, we're in California, you know, the land of the fruit and the nuts, and we're at the epicenter of that, Santa Cruz, California. I hate to say it, but nevertheless, it's a great place to live and having a gorgeous day today. And there are people around all excited about the fact that Governor Gray Davis may be recalled as our governor, probably it's not a bad idea, although I'm not sure the expense is justified. I don't see how I can do things much worse than he can. But it's an interesting thing to watch the people come out of the woodwork now. I was a little late to the studio filing for my papers to become governor of the state of California. Just a joke. But there are a lot of people coming out.
You got my vote.
We have Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is making a lot of news and getting a lot of ink on the fact that he is going to run. And everybody says, oh boy, Arnold Schwarzenegger, another movie star, another Ronald Reagan. He's going to come in and he's going to save us all. He won't become president because he's not naturally born here in the United States, but boy, he could really save us. What do you think about that notion, Alan?
Oh, I think he's a very capable person.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get that up front. I mean,
He's intelligent.
Businessman.
Right, exactly.
He's educated. He's just a really smart fellow. And like he says, you know, where else in America could a farm boy from Austria come over and become a success? So I think he really has as good a chance as anybody else. The problem is that he's up against a lot of entrenched interests if he becomes governor. And among them are the environmentalists who have contributed a great deal to the problems that California has, primarily in the area of energy, for example. All those electrical brownouts and blackouts and everything.
Exactly.
California simply has not built sufficient energy generation plants because every time they tried to, they got stopped by the Greens. They're just so many encumbering laws and regulations and whatever in California. It's literally driving business out of the state, and in that respect, Arnold is right.
You know, some would say that Arnold will have to surround himself, not unlike George Bush. I think that's sort of a put-down on a man's intellect, but something smart to do, perhaps, to run the country because he has no experience. Well, now, George Bush certainly had experience in the things of government, but Arnold does not. And the thing that scares me, frankly, Alan, is the fact that he's coming on as a Republican when he is a political moderate at best, and certainly no way, shape, or form a conservative on any social issue that you might name.
Boy, you could say the same thing about President Bush when it comes to domestic affairs.
That's in the second half of this program.
He's about as scary as it gets. He threw $49 billion at the education system in America.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a disaster. It is a disaster. And $49 billion is not going to change a thing about it.
No, it isn't.
He's doing nothing about immigration. He's doing nothing about trying to deal with anywhere up to 8 million or more illegal immigrants in this country. He's not shutting down the borders that I can see.
No, he's not putting the army there like it ought to be, perhaps. Schwarzenegger himself claims that on social issues, he's very liberal, unquote, and he supports abortion, he backs adoption by homosexuals, and he approves of gun control measures. Now, that doesn't sound like a Republican ticket to me.
That's a crazed Democrat. I mean, come on.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, this is part of the problem. This is what turns voters off.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have politicians who take a consistent position, politically speaking, on these various issues. And if you're a conservative, you're going to, you know, reasonably be expected to take a conservative point of view, no matter what the issue is. And it's just, that just doesn't exist. I mean, these people are all over the map. I like Bush's foreign policy. I think he's right on target with that, vis-a-vis transforming the Middle East. Of course, you have to do, you know, with out of the barrel of a gun, but that's the Middle East. That's the whole world. I mean, that's history.
Well, not only that, but President Bush has done a whole bunch of things the right way. He's done more, unfortunately, to my way of thinking, in the wrong way, to just continue to promote some of the things that President Clinton set in motion, which he could have easily stopped. Do you suppose there's any kind of collusion going on there with the backroom government going on?
I think in the areas of environment and energy, his administration clearly is trying to reverse the problems that were handed to him and to the rest of us by the Clinton administration. We're looking at a natural gas crisis that's literally around the corner by the matter of months. And it's not because this country doesn't have ample reserves of natural gas. It's just that 40% of the federal lands where much of it is found, the environmental restrictions make it impossible for to be accessed and drilled for, and pipelines built, and all the rest. So we're just not running out of natural gas. We're certainly not running out of oil in the world. The problem is that in terms of our domestic reserves, we can't get at it, and it's been shut down by that great green monster called environmentalism.
Many years ago, wasn't it said that, we have 12 years of natural gas and petroleum products left in the world or something like that?
It's bogus.
And then now here, a few years ago, they said, there's only 40 years left. You know, they're going in the right direction anyway, and pretty soon they'll say that there's an unlimited mean. But you're absolutely right when you say, and generally, I think that you will agree that the green issue, that is that of environmentalism, is really an economic issue.
Oh, it's all about destroying the economy of this country, and they're doing a dandy job. And then let's share the blame around a little bit. We have multinational corporations that are just taking American jobs and shipping them to India and China and everywhere. And that's why we have problems here at home, and why people are unemployed, is that our entire manufacturing base is being destroyed.
Now, why is that? Why is that?
Because of cheap labor in Asia, in other areas of the world.
Why can't you make it economically feasible to have those same jobs here in this country?
Because you just take a look at the Federal Register and look at all the laws that anyone engaged in business has to.
Right.
Go along with, and it doesn't matter whether it's OSHA or who you can employ or whatever. We've made it extremely difficult to be a small business person right on up to the corporate level.
So in every case, Alan, I think you'd probably agree, and we're coming up against another break now, the federal government, the state government, and even in some cases here in Santa Cruz anyway, the local government has certainly stymied any individual initiative by oppressive taxation, over-regulation, and just kind of an underlying consensus of agreement amongst them that we don't need any more growth. We really need to move backwards into the 19th century or something like that.
But you said it better.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're going to discuss this and more with Alan Karuba when we come back from this break, and we'll discuss it with you too, ladies and gentlemen, as you give us a call at 464-8295 or 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-245-4237, and we'll be back in just 1 minute.
A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
And we're back here at 31 minutes past the hour. My name is Dave Wilson. Welcome to all of you who are joining us at this point in time. We're talking with Alan Karuba from the East Coast, who is a commentator and raconteur. I got that correct, right?
That sounds very nice.
That's a storyteller. That's a good thing, right?
I like to think I do that. Of course, I'm trained as a journalist, and I have I always like facts.
Amen.
To gather facts.
Amen. But the liberal consensus doesn't want you to have the facts. They want to come to any sign of fact by the consensus agreement, where we all get together and agree what the facts are going to be. But that, again, is a whole nother program.
That's true.
So, anyway, let's talk a little bit and continue our discussion of the environmental agenda, because I believe that from the space program to property rights and almost everything in between, the powers that be somehow have caved into this environmentalism for the sake of being politically correct, because they are so impassioned about getting before the public pictures of the sun burning and forest fires and little children starving and so forth and so on.
Well, the forest fires, you can thank the environmental lobby for that, because they consistently for years have made it extremely difficult to manage our national forests and fires.
Mm-hmm.
And by manage, anybody in the timber industry will tell you that you have to cull out the old and the dead trees, and you have to make sure that the underbrush is cleared away. A forest is a living creature, and as far as the Greens have been concerned, cutting down any tree for any reason has been just a terrible thing to do. And that's about as asinine as it gets. People mostly don't realize that when the laws were written regarding national parks and forests and various reserves and whatever, the original legislation understood and made it a part of the law that the natural assets could be accessed and used. The timber, of course, and whatever else was in there. We have enormous amounts of very high-grade coal sitting out in Utah and surrounding states. And guess what? The Clinton-Gore administration put it off limits to any use, any access.
Exactly, and the forests are the same way, and you can't catch a salmon or cut down a tree in California without a license and regulation and somebody watching you.
It's a death grip on the economy, because and it makes no sense. This nation with, what are we now, 280 million or more?
Something like that.
We have to build housing for people because our population is growing. Thanks to Mexico, and a lot of it's growing by coming right across the border and joining up with the rest of us.
In California, I guess you understood that California has no population growth, zero population growth, if you discount the immigration.
Absolutely. That's true.
Scary.
That is a very good point. The bottom line with immigration in California is it's killing the state.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely destroying the state. And the policies of California, of course, is, you're illegal. Here's a driver's license. Here's a,
right.
Here's some welfare benefits. And, hey, let us educate your kid. And
we'll print everything in Spanish, Vietnamese, or whatever other language
you might like to have. English, the heck with that.
Right.
I mean, it's so idiotic when you look at it. You just look at it and say, what are they thinking when they pass these? The fact of the matter is this burden. The economic burden, the guy who pays for it is the person who's, got a job.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about rich people. We're just talking about ordinary Californians.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, you as the electorate out there need to understand these issues beyond what you're seeing depicted in the paper and on the television, for example, because you're never going to understand this whole thing unless you realize that the money you pay in taxes, and I'm not talking about your income tax or your state income tax, but I'm talking about all the other hidden taxes that you're paying and don't even know about it. What was it, Alan? This year, Tax Freedom Day was somewhere in late May or something like that. I can't remember the exact date now, but every dime that you earned up to that point in time went to somebody, not you, who was going to do with it as they wanted to.
Half the money that we earn, 40% or more at this point, I'm not sure, it's somewhere between 40 and 50%, half of every dollar that we earn gets taken away from us before we even, access it.
You remember how we used to laugh at Sweden in the 60s for being socialistic?
Yeah.
And look what's happening right now. But ladies and gentlemen, if you don't understand this, this is the problem. And this is why I think a lot of us are sitting around waiting for some savior. And once again, I want to reiterate, ladies and gentlemen, for our California listeners, that Arnold Schwarzenegger is not the Messiah. He is a very, very liberal. He is a political moderate. He is not a conservative. He supports abortion, and he backs adoption by homosexuals, and he approves gun control things. You need to look into this before you put him up on that podium and elect him the next governor of California. He's more than likely the most liberal person that you've ever heard of in terms of social issues, and that includes immigration. If you want a governor who embraces the Hollywood leftist ideas on the social agenda for this state, then that's where you're going to go, and it's pretty scary for me.
But I don't think you're going to hear him talk about this.
No,
unless he's absolutely forced to in a debate.
And the sad part about it is, I'm so frustrated because you can't force those things because you won't get be invited back. They won't ask you or give you an opportunity to ask another question once they see that you're not going with the line. Well, say, what do you think? Just this is an aside, and I'll get back to the regulars. What do you think of Katie Couric making a comment about Arnold Schwarzenegger's father being a Nazi? Now that's digging pretty deep, don't you think?
I can't tell you the last time I watched Katie Couric on television. This is one of the most vicious women in a position of influence I have witnessed in many, many years. She's not a nice person.
It's the media, though, too, isn't it?
It's all of these people in the media, particularly here on the East Coast.
You're a media insider, Alan.
Well,
you understand this.
I've spent a lifetime working with these people, and they live in a little bubble of liberalism. All their friends are liberal. All their coworkers are liberal. They make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to mingle with the masses, and they just talk to each other, and then they get on their anchor position or whatever job they have, and they talk to us, and they don't understand why we don't agree with them.
Yeah,
and it's the mainstream media is just to me just a dead loss. I mean, I just have written it off. To me, I'll watch the Fox News channel, which actually is fair and balanced. They got as many liberals on that channel
That's
as they
true.
Have
they
conservatives.
Often do. Mm-hmm.
But at least you do get to hear something conservative every so often on the Fox News channel. Beyond that, I very much depend on the internet for news and opinion. And happily, my column is and my commentaries are carried on somewhere in the air between 30 and 40 different internet sites these days.
Good.
And
And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that Alan's website is www.anxietycenter, spelled just like it sounds, anxietycenter.com. And there you can access all kinds of wonderful things, including information about his book, which is a compilation of columns for the last, 3 years or so?
Last 2 years.
2 years. And a wonderful thing to have, because there you go, Alan, putting all these facts in your book.
Oh, yeah. Bad old me.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a nice, slim, easy-to-read soft cover book, and we talk about environmentalism and the United Nations and energy issues and education issues, animal rights, immigration. We talk about the Islamic Jihad, this global war that these lunatics are waging on us and apparently on each other.
Yeah, well, as soon as they get finished with us, then they'll start on each other again.
Well, they're already starting. You know, these people are really crazy, and, let's not lose sight of the fact they're not nice.
Marvelous segue into our next subject, which is, what do you think of the situation in Iraq? Now, you just described a group of people, and the Bush government and we, the people of the United States, are trying to impose our sense, which comes from our Judeo-Christian worldview, onto a pagan society. How is that going to work?
Well, let me be a little bit more encouraging. Not that I don't agree that the Muslims are basically pagans. They worship a moon god called Allah.
Uh-huh.
Don't get confused and think that Allah is like Jehovah. No, it's an old pagan moon god. That's a whole other show, too.
Exactly.
I'm very encouraged by what's happening in Iraq. Number one, these Iraqis are well-known to be educated people, literate people. Their universities and colleges have already begun to reopen, and the classes are being held. These are not, backward people. They're not like the Afghanistan, goat herders. The Iraqis will have all the potential of adopting democratic forms of government and getting with the rest of the world, joining the rest of us.
So it's in your opinion, then, that they will be able to embrace the concept of one man, one vote? But what about all of the centuries of tribalism and the machismo? I don't know the Arabic word for that.
It's going to take some time. But, at the end of World War II, Germany, which had become a thugocracy, a monstrous political entity, dug itself out from the rubble with our help,
mm-hmm.
and now is at the keystone of a modern European civilization.
And Japan as well. We have to put them in there. They came from emperor worship into
a long way.
Yeah,
and
it did take a long time.
They have a democratic. MacArthur basically wrote their constitution for them.
Right.
We have to, I always tell people you have to live in hope. And what we are seeing is a combination of the power of the United States to impose change, and in this case it's change from 30 years plus of the most god-awful dictatorship that none of us could even conceive of.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't say anything to your closest friend because he would turn you in.
Right.
And you go to jail and worse.
Mm-hmm.
We can't even conceive of the horror these people have lived through for a generation or so. And it's going to take a while for them to come out from underneath that. And there's going to be a lot of squabbling and the usual troublemaking from outside and what have you. But I think that the Bush administration has really brought about the beginnings of a change that will change the entire region. There's something contagious about liberty, about freedom.
That's true. What do you say to the people who would call Mr. Bush the emperor and the United States an imperialist nation for interfering in the affairs of men?
I think it behooves a great power to interfere, if you bear in mind that we're not over there to own and occupy Iraq. We're over there to bring about changes in the culture of the Middle East. We need to remember that Turkey is an Islamic nation, but it is also a secular nation.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to change the situation in the Middle East. You have something like 22 nations over there. You have 300 million people in the Middle East, and the nation of Spain has a greater gross domestic product than the entire region.
Yep.
I mean, it's insane that they're backward. Yes. And what do? You got to crack a couple of eggs to make an omelet, basically. the big problem in that area is Islam.
Yes.
That's the big problem. And when we say Islam, we're also talking about North Africa and throughout Africa, in fact. Islam is the problem.
And don't forget the Far East.
And the Far East as well. Now, having said that, there are 1.4 billion Muslims. A lot of them are good and decent people that don't wish ill of anyone. But unfortunately, they are trapped in a religion that is literally just a barbaric warrior cult. And it's only been around for about 1,400 years, since 700 AD or so. And religions rise and religions fall, and it's time to pull the rug on this one. And since it's making a great deal of trouble and killing a lot of innocent people everywhere in the world, this is what's going to, you know, there's going to be a backlash.
It's interesting that you would say that. Men come and men go, countries come and countries go, but the word of God stands forever, and the Islamic way of looking at things is totally contrary to God's word, the Bible. And ladies and gentlemen, you need to know that Islam is not an offshoot nor a further prophesying of Isaac and Jacob's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's way of doing things, that is, in the Old Testament that we hold so dear, and the New Testament revealing Christ as Messiah, but it is a totally aberrant way which has influenced billions of people into worshiping a false god. And those Christians who may be listening to this program, God bless you for your efforts to support missionary endeavors in whatever country it may be, and for your own efforts right here at home, where I feel the United States sometimes needs a few evangelists right here at home.
I think we have plenty of them, but I tell you, Ann Coulter, the author of Treason, which is a wonderful book I recommend to everybody, got dismissed from the National Review for writing a column saying that what the Middle East needed was an army of missionaries.
Yep. Well,
and you couldn't have said it better.
If you believe the Bible, John 14:7 said, quoting Jesus, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except by me." It's a pretty closed way of looking at it, and certainly not a popular way of thinking in today's pluralistic society. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Alan Karuba, who is the raconteur in charge of www.anxietycenter.com. And there you may go to get one of his books, subscribe to all kinds of interesting downloads about Islam, United Nations, and environmentalism. I recommend it highly. And if you get the book, it's the sort of thing that you could probably carry around with you to give you some factoids about what's really going on in our country today. We're going to have a short break here, and first, before we go to that and wind up this hour's Radio Liberty, I want to thank you all for being with us this afternoon, and I want to consider, or have you consider, calling 1-800-544-8927 and asking for a copy of the brand new, improved, and increased Radio Liberty resource list. More than 70 pages, as I said before, all kinds of information about Radio Liberty, where it is on the radio, so that you can travel throughout this land and probably find a station that is broadcasting Radio Liberty in one form or another. You can find out all about the Berkey water filtration system, something that's fascinating. One of the interesting things, too, that you can find out in the Radio Liberty resource list is that there are many specials that Dr. Stan has put together, and they include typically a video and a tape set, or a video and a book, or something like that, at a heavily discounted price. So it's really For example, getting $100-some-odd value for only $70. That's the kind of discounting you get in Radio Liberty specials. They're all enumerated here in the Radio Liberty resource packet, and you get your copy free and postpaid by calling 800-544-8927. And you know, there, at that phone number, you can also ask about becoming a member of the Radio Liberty family of subscribers. Radio time is expensive and getting more so day by day. Even as we speak, the rates are going up on the venue that we're broadcasting right now. So, you know, it's really, really important that if you think we're doing something important here, that is getting the word out, that you stand along Dr. Stan and others who have decided that the news here is the correct news, and at least it's factual information. Call 1-800-544-8927 and say that I'd like to become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And so for $20 or more a month, I want to emphasize that, or more, you'll get a copy of Dr. Stan's insightful newsletter and the four very best tapes of the month. Or you can say, no thank you, I don't care about those things. I just want to give you some money to help underwrite the cost of putting Radio Liberty on the air. Please do that. I'm a supporter. I hope that you'll become a supporter by calling 1-800-544-8927. And we'll be back with Alan Karuba in just a minute.
This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dunigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
And we're back for the final 6 or 7 minutes or so of a Friday's edition of Radio Liberty. My name is Dave Wilson, privileged to sit in here for Dr. Stanley Monteith. Once again, I've been away for a while. I missed you guys. I hope that you missed me. Anyway, we're back in the saddle here for at least this afternoon. And my guest, a favorite person of mine whom I have met in a 21st century kind of way, just through writing back and forth on the Internet and talking to him on the phone. I hope you're having a good time, Alan, discussing the things which need to be discussed. And I want to ask you one last question to set the subject for the remaining minutes of our program about the Venona revelation, the subject of your last column posted on your Internet entitled What My Father Didn't Know. And in the, at the end there of that essay, you say the threat was, and the threat still is, communism. And now to add to the enemy a new one, Islam. Not surprisingly, both use terrorism as their primary use of conquest. Well, now, Alan, people would say, even those who listen to this program, that communism is dead. What do you mean by that?
They need to take a look at a little country called China with a billion population, which functions under communism. And, of course, Cuba is 90 miles off the coast of the United States, a communist nation. We're having a lot of problems with a communist lunatic in North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
No, communism has not gone away. It's alive and, unfortunately, well, and remains a threat to liberty and freedom. And all
but in many cases where you have enumerated the peoples who call themselves communists, but elsewhere in the world, in probably tens or hundreds of countries, the same sort of social agenda is going on. I call it GPS, for no other better word, global pantheistic socialism.
Mm-hmm.
It's where the populace
all of
is
Europe.
Split. Exactly.
Well, Europe is just totally socialist.
What about South Africa?
South Africa, yes. Let's not forget about them. Oh, it's very widespread. There's some resurgence in South America. No, it's not gone away. The direct reference that I make is to a government project that started, I think, around 1943,
mm-hmm.
called the Venona Project, V-E-N-O-N-A. And it was a project during World War II to intercept and decipher the cables from Soviet Russia to its diplomats and to its spies, which are pretty much one and the same thing. Spies, agents, agents of influence. And what Venona revealed, and was only declassified in 1995, what it revealed is that everything that Senator Joseph McCarthy was saying when he was being vilified, everything that Edgar Hoover was warning about, and of course they waited until he died to vilify him, was true. That the Truman administration, FDR administration and the Truman administration were shot through with top-level Soviet spies, agents of the Soviet Union.
Now, unbeknownst to Roosevelt and Truman, would you say?
Known to both.
Known to both.
Known to both, and pretty much dismissed. Although Truman did enact a number of programs to root out the communists in government at that point.
And that's where Ann Coulter's book gets very exciting, isn't it?
Pardon?
That's where Ann Coulter's book, Treason, gets kind of exciting when she talks about
it. Absolutely must be read. It must be read so people can understand that all the lies that we've been told about, the Red Scare and all this other stuff, just bogus.
David Horowitz says, of course, have you read his column about Ann Coulter's book, Treason?
No, I haven't.
You should look that up, because he refutes the notion that it was known and they were merely dupes, and Harry Truman did, in fact, grab the emphasis and started getting rid of these people for whatever. But, you know, these are the kinds of things that are difficult at best to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I agree with you. Ann's book is wonderful. Your article is great, and I thought it was sort of sad and poignant that your dad was a very, very smart man and yet was influenced by this media.
Oh, no. My dad, he started it every day with the New York Times, which is basically a communist rag, and he read the newsletter of I.F. Stone, which was very popular at that time among mm-hmm. liberals, and he read all the writings of, you name it. He was as liberal as you get, and... He would have not believed that the Rosenbergs were spies who gave the secrets of the A-bomb to the Soviets. He would not have believed any of that kind of thing, because he was inundated by what was basically the mainstream press of his time.
And now we find people doing the same thing.
The same thing. We have to educate ourselves. We have to be more skeptical of what the mainstream press tells us day in and day out. Right now, what they're trying to tell us is that the President of the United States is a liar and that we have no business being over in Iraq and blah, blah, blah.
And on that note, I've got to say goodbye, because we're flat out of time, Alan. Thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate it, and I'll be talking to you soon. God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is Dave Wilson saying, please pray for us here at Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Don't forget to call 800-544-8927 for that free updated Radio Liberty resource list.
Mm-hmm.